Judges chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 6. Judges 5, verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. When the new gods were chosen, then war was in the gates. Was shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel? This is the song of Deborah in chapter 5, as she describes herself as the mother of Israel. And I do want to also say all to all of our mothers, happy Mother's Day today. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful for your grace and your mercy. We're thankful for who you are and what you do and what you still are yet to do. We thank you for women like Deborah who you used to do some mighty things for your kingdom. And we pray, God, that you would help us to lift up a shout, a sing, a praise for who you are and what you have done. And may we live a life of worship before you, and may our lips sing praises to you. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today they would call upon your great name. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right. You may be seated. As we look at the text this morning, chapter 4 is kind of the historical account. Chapter 5 is the poetic account. It is the song of Deborah. And the first thing we need to understand when we read the book of Judges is, man, does he not use some wild characters? I mean, you read through Judges. So far, we've read every one of the folks. They've had some issues, haven't they? They've had some instances where some of them not even from strangers and foreigners. And noted one of them was left-handed, and one of them, Gideon. My goodness. You know, how many times did he have to get confirmation by God before he finally realized, yes, God is with me? You know, he uses the most unlikely people. We read through Judges and we think, how did he use all of these folks? They're unlikely heroes. You know why that is? Because there's only one true hero in the Bible, and that is the Lord Almighty himself. Amen? And once again, we're going to see that he uses another unlikely person, Deborah. Deborah is a lady. Here we have a time, as the scripture has just said in her song, there's nobody doing business. It's everybody shut off. They're being oppressed. They had had freedom for 80 years, but then guess what? That judge died. And what do we read in Judges? When the judge dies, what do the people do? They go back. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Jehu died. That was the judge before. And the Lord sowed them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. And the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hoiam. That was a good word right there. Right? Amen. How many of y'all have been loving the names in the Judges? Just flip to the app. Let it read it to you. They were in an oppressed people. They had peace for 80 years. Now they're under oppression for 20 years. We read through Judges. When God sends them a judge, the people follow the Lord. God blesses them. Then when that judge dies, they go back and they turn to the other gods. And then God sends judgment on them. And then they get themselves in another predicament. And what do? They call out to the Lord. God hears their prayer, sends them a deliverer. He blesses them, gives them, brings them back, and then that judge dies, and what do? They do the same thing over again, same cycle. How many of y'all have ever felt like you're in that cycle? Anybody ever felt like you're in that cycle? It's like, you know, God will do something for you, and you're like, oh, you praise God, and God's doing good, and then all of a sudden, you start wandering and straying and thinking, I can do this on my own, and you start trusting yourself more than God. And then you get yourself in an uh-oh moment stage of life. Anybody get yourselves in one of those moments like, uh-oh, what have I done? I've been following my own path too long. And then you say, oh, God, what? Oh, forgive me. And aren't you glad we serve a gracious God who forgives us? And so here we have this cycle going over. Now, Israel's in a bad predicament. They are being oppressed by a powerful nation. A warrior, Sisera, who is a commander of an army that has 900 iron chariots. Okay, this is the best weaponry of the day. And that is their predicament. But in chapter 5, we have the Song of Deborah. It's the victory song that she wrote about what God had done. And I think we can learn some things about it. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at some reasons how and why we should praise God with song, why we should sing. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, we should sing praises for God's presence. Sing praises for God's presence. Chapter 4, verse 3. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. They were under oppression. They knew, they finally realized their only hope was God. And so they call out to the God who can save them. In the song in chapter 5, verse 3, she writes here, "Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel." Who's she singing to? The God of Israel. "Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel." She is writing a song. She is singing a song of what God did for them and the current situation, and also referencing back to what God has done for them, because God has always been a God that has been among his people. He was there with them when he brought them through the Red Sea. He was there with Moses on Mount Sinai when the mountain shook by the power of God. He was with them as the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He was with them as he led them through the wilderness, and they would not go unless he went first. And wherever he went, they went. Why? Because they wanted to be in his presence. He provided them shoes that never wore out, clothes that never faded. He was among his people. He led them through the wilderness and into the promised land, where he gave them victory over their enemies. God was with them. And they knew that God's presence was among God's people. And so they called out to him. And God once again heard their prayer. He delivered them by his mighty hand. And he defeated Sisera. And she sings praises to the Lord God Almighty. He's worthy of our praises. Amen? His presence. We can sing praises because of his presence. We know he's with us. He leads us. He guides us. He walks with me. He talks with me. A long life. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today, right? You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He's with us. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus, when he gathered his disciples before he ascended back into the Father, he said, "I'm not going to leave you alone as orphans. I'm going to send you another helper, a comforter, a counselor. He's going to send his spirit to live inside of you." Now, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your life looks like right now. I don't know if it seems like you've got an army of 900 chariots surrounding you, where it seems like that there is no way that you're going to gain a victory. I don't know how difficult it might be for you right now, but here's what I know. We have a God that meets us and comes right to us, and he is ever present with us. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always." His presence empowers me to be able to sing a praise to him, because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen? That gives us reason to sing and say hallelujah. I think we just need to say that word one more time. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you're feeling down, just say hallelujah. You know the Spirit's with you. You know he's right with you. He's guiding you. And they called on the name of the Lord, and God met them once again. We can sing praises for God's presence. Secondly, we can sing praises for God's people. That God puts people in our life to make us better. Amen? He puts mothers in our lives. Make us better. Amen? I got a mama, she made me better. Her name's Deborah, by the way. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. She gets on here and she watches. I want to make sure that I said that. How many of y'all thankful for the people in your life that make you better? That surround you and lead you and guide you? That also are co-laborers with you in the gospel? I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for all the honeybees we have. I'm thankful for all the women that we have in our church and their faithfulness, how they live out for God. Because the first person we need to be thankful for, we'll look at, is Deborah. I'll remind you once again how Deborah saw herself. This is not her function. We'll see that she was a prophetess. But this is how Deborah saw herself. In chapter 5, verse 7b, I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. She saw herself as the mother of Israel. Thank God for mothers. Amen. Once again, happy Mother's Day. Mothers, what a special blessing. Mothers, don't let them try to steal who you are. Men, if you're a man, you're a man. You'll never be a mother. You XX and XY. You can't change that. Now, you can nip it, tuck it. You can take it away, add to. But it's never going to change the XX and the XY. I'm going to follow the science on that. Yeah. I think we ought to have that on our bathroom doors, XX, XY. That might solve a lot of our issues. Because that ain't changing. That is not changing. Motherhood is special. Motherhood is valuable. And every feminist in the world ought to stand behind that. They'd be outraged by men playing women's sports. If you're for women. Mothers, we love you here at Living Water Church. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for all the mothers. Because like Deborah, a lot of times when the men's sitting there not doing anything, God will say, okay, lady, step up. It was a sorry time in the life of Israel. There was nobody willing to fight, nobody willing to lead, nobody willing to do anything. And God said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up this lady. I'm going to use her. And she, the honeybee, is going to sting this guy who's Sisera, who's got this 900 iron chariot army, who is a mighty warrior. And I'm going to use her to raise up an army. Thank God for strong women. There's sometimes that if it wasn't for the mom, the kids wouldn't be in church. I'm thankful that here at Living Water Church, we rarely see that issue. I'm thankful for the fathers here in the house today too, who come with their wife and bring their kids to the house of God so they can see both mom and dad love the Lord. But I think we should clap that. I think that's worthy. Here we have this lady. And in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came to her for judgment. She was a mouthpiece of God. God was using Deborah to give judgment and discernment on behalf of God to his people, to lead them and to guide them, and to help them walk closer to the Lord. And so they would come, and she would speak. And when she spoke, she was speaking as a prophet, meaning God was speaking through her. Okay? She's a mighty woman of faith who God is using greatly. And then Barak comes on the scene. Now, he's a commander. He is an officer. But he hadn't been commanding much until God used Deborah. Verse 6, She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh Naphtalia, and said to him, now this is a word from God. This is her speaking on God's behalf. Okay, now watch this. Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, this is the Lord's command through her, go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun. And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Okay? She is speaking a word from God to him. And what is she saying to him? You go get 10,000 troops. The Lord even allows her to give the strategy. Go to Mount Tabor, and there I'm going to lead Sisera into your hands. And so she was prophetically saying to him, God is going to give you the victory. Correct? Are you with me? If you're with me, say hallelujah. Okay, so it's clear that God is speaking through Deborah, telling Barak that you go raise an army and you will win a victory. Okay, now let's go to our second character here, Barak. And here his response, verse 8. Now Barak said to her, if you will go with me, I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go. Now we're going to look at that. Is that something wise on his part, or was that a little bit of lack of faith? We'll break it down here in just a minute. And she said, so Deborah responds, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Okay. Now, I have read countless commentaries on this, okay? And I think just by reading the text itself here in Judges, I think Deborah sees this as somewhat as a lack of faith on Barak's part. Because what had we all agreed upon here by our unanimous hallelujah that Deborah had told him? To go get an army, and God was going to give him the victory, right? So what should have he done? He should have said, yes, ma'am. And he should have went and got an army and got the victory. But what didn't he didn't do that, did he? What he said, well, I'm not going if you're not going. Like, I won't go unless you go with me. Now, I do. I think Deborah said, okay, because of that, you're not going to get the glory, but God is going to deliver Sisera by the hand of a woman. Which at that time would definitely have been an insult to man that a woman was going to gain the victory. But however, Hebrews includes Barak in the heroes of faith. Okay, so a lot of conservative commentaries that I read and worked through, they see this also as an act of faith of saying, I recognize that God is using Deborah as the spokesperson to declare his truth. And I want to make sure that I'm always hearing from God. So I'm not going to go to battle unless the one who hears from God and speaks for God is with me. That's some wisdom, amen? Husbands, how many of y'all have some godly wives? You know what I mean? You better have your hand up right now or you're about to get punched. I am thankful for my wife, and I am thankful for how God speaks to her, and she has counseled me in many times. And we would be wise to listen to our wives when God's impressing upon something that he's sharing. Amen? That's wisdom. Kids, if you've got a godly mama, you listen to her. She loves you. She will guide you, protect you. She does not want any harm to come your way. She loves you, and she wants the best for you. So if you got a godly mom, that's something to sing about. And everybody said? Or, hallelujah. I know I've used amen all throughout this church, so I say amen a lot. So that's what we're used to saying, amen. But in the case today, we got to say hallelujah. It's worth saying hallelujah. Okay? We also need to sing praises for God's people. Who were some others? So the willing soldiers. So in chapter 5 there, in her song, she thanks God for the willing soldiers. Let me just go on, jump down to chapter 5, verse 2. That the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly. Bless the Lord. That's a song. Bless the Lord. Praise God. My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Break out in a song. Arise, Barak. Lead away your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then down marched the remnant of the noble. The people of the Lord marched down for me against the mighty. She's thanking God for the men who answered the call to go fight the war. Now, this is the time when Israel did not have a king. There was not a king who could command all the tribes of Israel to unite together to fight the enemy. This was a call out to those who would be willing to come and fight. And we see in chapter 5, there were some that were willing to and some that were not willing to. You know, you're always going to have some people who want to live for the Lord and some who don't want to engage in it. Thank God for those who engage. Amen. Thank God for the men and women who serve. Thank God for the workers of God, the warriors of God. Thank God for our tech team. Amen. Hallelujah. Our praise team. Those in the cafe. Right? Our children's church workers. Those in the nursery caring for our babies. Working with the children ministry, the youth ministry, those who are out serving on a day-to-day basis, those who invest in missions and outreach. We give a hallelujah and a praise for every man and woman who faithfully serves the Lord, who stands shoulder to shoulder and goes to war to fight the enemy and advances the kingdom of God. Somebody say, hallelujah. We sing praises to our God for the willing soldiers. Thirdly, we need to sing praises for God's power. For God's power. Chapter 5, verse 19. The kings came, they fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan. At Taanach by the waters of Megiddo, they got no spoils of silver. From heaven, the stars fought. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The torrent Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent of Kishon. March on, my soul, with might. Then loud beat the horse's hoofs with the galloping, galloping of his steeds. Chapter 4, the narrative account of that is, and Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera. Who routed Sisera? The Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not one man was left. Picture it with me. God had given the strategy to Deborah. Deborah, one of the few, if not only times that a woman is there at the battlefield. And she says, go, Go, Barak. The Lord has given you the victory. The valley where this is fighting, it's suspected to be late summer, so August, September, dry season, where there is no rainfall, where the valley was dry, and it was a good pathway for 900 iron chariots. The river Kishon ran among it. Now, during the spring, this river would rise and flood the valley. But this being in late summer, Sisera sees the Israelites go to the point in which God had told them to go, and he feels like that he's got them. Hear the sound of the chariots, iron, 900 iron chariots with soldiers, the horses' hoofs galloping, 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 the rush, the rumble of the chariots. Here it goes. They're marching. They're coming forth. They're going to win the attack. And then all of a sudden, the stars start fighting in the heavens. It's the God of heaven. He awakens the clouds. He opens them up. They burst forth. And all of a sudden, a big rainstorm comes upon them. And it starts to fall upon them and floods the river. And now this dry area where these 900 chariots could easily go through and conquer Israel has become an area of nothing but mud. How well do you think iron chariots do in mud? Not very well. God showed up just like he's always done. And by his power, he stopped the enemy right there. You know who the God of Sisera was? The storm god. They worshiped the storm god. They had their own territorial gods, and they worshiped the storm god. And as the rain descended, I wonder what they thought. Our God is even turning on us? No, here's what was happening. The only one true God heard the voices of God's people, and he came down, and he brought the thunder, and he brought the rain, and he gave the victory to the Israelites. So we sing because of God's power. You might feel like you're under attack. You might feel like your life is one where there's 900 chariots coming right at you. Mentally, emotionally, physically, maybe relationally. Maybe it's at the house, the home. Maybe it's at the work office. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's among your peer groups. And you feel like the enemy is attacking. And you know the enemy seems so powerful that if we're not careful, we'll run for shelter and we'll hide. But what we got to realize is God is more powerful than any weapon that can be formed against us. And that in his strength, he can defeat any enemy, any lie, any stronghold, anything that comes our way. God is more powerful than it all. And we have the victory. And through him and in him, we are victorious, which causes us to say, hallelujah. And they won the victory. They sang a song. Jael was the lady that would gain the victory for them. Chapter 4, verse 17 says, but Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. So here's what happened. Sisera, this mighty warrior, commander of 900 iron chariots, gets stuck in the mud and his soldiers are defeated. So what does he do? He nobly runs and flees. And he runs for his life. He runs to a territory where he feels like he has welcome company. It is the family of Moses' in-laws. And there's Jael at the tent. She sees him running. And she says, "You're welcome here. You can stay here." Now, when she sees him running and fleeing, she knows they're at war with Israel. If he is by himself running and fleeing, she knows who won. She knows the God of Israel once again has defended his people. So she knows who the enemy is. She knows what needs to be done. She brings him into the tent. He's like, and he is, if you can think, if you're fighting, he's tired, he's weary. He's like, "I need some water." She brings him in, gives him some warm milk. He's exhausted. She wraps him up, says a carpet, a thick cloth, blanket. And he goes to sleep. In jail. Now she's from the tribe where it is the responsibility of the women to set up and take down the tents. She knows how to do a tent. And while he's sleeping, she takes a tent peg, puts it to his temple, raises the hammer, and strikes it. And that stake goes through his skull and into the ground. And the victory goes to this woman, Jael. What do you do when the enemy comes to your tent? What do you do when the enemy comes right in your home? I think you need to pick up the hammer and the tent peg and kill it. What about you? And so she defeats Israel's enemy. Deborah sings about that. 5:24, "Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. Of tent-dwelling women, most blessed. He asked for water, she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet, he sank, he fell. He lay still. Between her feet, he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead." I'm not messing with Jael. Are you? Lastly, we can sing praises for God's peace. God's peace. Chapter 4, verse 23 says, "So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. And the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan." Deborah then shows a picture of Sisera's mother. And she sings this in chapter 5, verse 28. "Out of the window she peered, the mother of Sisera, wailed through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariots? Her wisest princess answer, indeed she answers herself. Have they not found and divided the spoil? A womb or two for every man? Spoil of dyed materials for Sisera? Spoil of dyed materials embroidered? 2 pieces of dyed work embroidered for the neck as spoil?" What a sad picture of this mother looking out a window, looking for hope where there is no hope. Focused only on the vengeance that her son pours out on neighboring peoples. and desiring the spoils of those victories so that she can have more and more and more. But looking through this window, wondering if that will arrive, knowing that it will never come. I wonder how many people look out the window of life never to receive hope because they're looking for the wrong things. Looking for more. I just need some more. If I can work more hours, I'll have more. Looking for more. People need to recognize me and know me. I need to make a name for myself, living for more. I wonder how many people has liked this post or has shared it, living for more. I wonder if I can get that raise or if I can get that bigger house or if I can get that this and that. Always wanting more, and when you get more, you're never satisfied. And the more you have, the more you want. And it's an endless hope. It's a window of hopelessness, and you keep consuming but never being filled. I wonder how many people are living in hopelessness because you're searching for meaning in all the wrong things. Verse 31. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord. But your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might. May you have peace, the shalom of God, the peace of God. May God's face shine upon you because you realize that the only hope that you have is from a Savior who came and defeated the enemy. And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus lifted up a victor shout. And he said, "It is finished." And on the third day, when that rock began to move, the shout of victory over death, as he said, "He's alive. Why you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen." You see, on the cross of Calvary, he died for the penalty of our sin, assuring us forgiveness. But when he rose out of that tomb, he gained victory over death, assuring us life everlasting. Peace from death, hope for all eternity, that in Christ Jesus we have perfect peace. He took the nail that they meant for him, and he crushed the head of Satan. And he defeated the enemy. And today, guess what? We can have hope, peace, joy, love, and a life everlasting. This morning, I don't know where you're putting your hope. I would encourage you to put it in Jesus. I don't know what songs you're singing, but I would encourage you to sing the songs of Jesus. Lift up and praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your power, your presence. We thank you for the people that you put in our lives to make us better and to be a co-laborer in the gospel of Christ. Thank you for our church family. And we thank you for the peace that passes all understanding that you give to us for those who love you and call upon your name. Lord, today, if there's someone that needs to trust in you, to hope in you, would you speak to them? Lord, would they come and lay down all of their burdens and let you fight and win their battle? For you provide grace and mercy to all who call upon you. And for those of us who do know you, may we be encouraged today to sing a praise of hallelujah for you for all the days of our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we do ask and pray these things. Amen.